Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vyatikramam Vikshyam Tam Nirvartyagato. Okay, Nirvartyagato Guruhu Ashapat Patata Deho Nime Pandita Maninaha Shishya Vyatikramam Viksha Tam Nivartyagato Guruhu Ashapat Patata Deho Nime Pandita Maninaha. Shish. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Please repeat. After completing the sacrificial performance for King Indra, the spiritual master Vasishta returned and found that his disciple Maharaj Nimi had disobeyed his instructions. Thus Vasishta cursed him, saying, "May the material body of Nimi, who considers himself learned, immediately fall." So this verse has no purport, so I'll read myself, text 5. Nimi prati dadau shapam guruve dharma vartine tavapa patata deho loba dharmam ajanataha. Translation. For unnecessarily cursing him when he had committed no offense, Maharaj Nimi counter-cursed his spiritual master. For the sake of getting contributions from the King of Heaven, he said, "You have lost your religious intelligence. Therefore, I pronounce this curse. Your body will also fall." Purport. The religious principle for a Brahmana is that he should not be greedy at all. In this case, however, for the sake of more lucrative remuneration from the King of Heaven, Vasishta neglected Maharaj Nimi's request on this planet. And when Nimi performed the sacrifice with other priests, Vasishta unnecessarily cursed him. When one is infected by contaminated activities, his power, material or spiritual, reduces. Although Vasishta was the spiritual master of Maharaj Nimi, because of his greed, he became fallen. So the verses again. After completing the sacrificial performances for King Indra, the spiritual master Vasishta returned and found that his disciple Maharaj Nimi had disobeyed his instructions. Thus Vasishta cursed him, saying, "May the material body of Nimi, who considers himself learned, immediately fall." For unnecessarily cursing him when he had committed no offense, Maharaj Nimi countercursed his spiritual master. For the sake of getting contribution from the King of Heaven, he said, "You have lost your religious intelligence. Therefore, I pronounce this curse. Your body will also fall. So normally, in Vedic culture, one obeys the order of the spiritual master. Dadvidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadikshantite jnanam jnananas tattvadarshinaha. So in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains that if one wants to know the absolute truth, then one must approach a bona fide guru, spiritual master. One must surrender to that spiritual master. One must inquire submissively, and one must render service to the spiritual master. And that way, one satisfies the spiritual master. We sing every morning, Yasya Prasada, Bhagavat Prasado, Yasya Prasada, Nagati Gutobi. One has to please the spiritual master because the spiritual master is Krishna's representative. And by pleasing Krishna's representative, Krishna becomes pleased. So to satisfy Krishna, one must please Krishna's representative. Lord Krishna, within the heart, is the Chaitya Guru, the Guru within the heart, but he manifests himself externally in the form of the spiritual master. And the spiritual master can exist in different forms. There's the Diksha Guru, who is the initiating spiritual master. There's the Shiksha Guru, who is the instructing spiritual master. And there is the Vartma Pradarshika Guru, you know, the guru who first guides one to the path of Krishna consciousness. So, you know, we have all of these different types of gurus who give us instruction, and we're meant to follow those instructions. You know, I can look at, you know, my, you know, own life in Krishna consciousness, and, you know, I can see, yes, I had a Vartma Pradarshika guru. You know, I went to one rock concert in 1973, and there was one devotee lady there named Divi Shakti, and she gave me, you know, Bhagavad Gita. You know, so that was the beginning of my Krishna conscious life. And then, you know, I read the instructions of Srila Prabhupada in that book, and eventually Srila Prabhupada became not just my Shiksha Guru, but Diksha Guru, initiating spiritual master. So, normally, the disciple is meant to follow the order of the spiritual master. Of course, it's explained in the Vedic literature that one should choose a spiritual master very carefully, and also the spiritual master should choose a disciple very carefully. Said, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, other acharyas say, you know, the guru should study the disciple for at least a year, the disciple should study the guru for at least a year. So If one chooses a proper spiritual master, then normally, practically without exception, one should follow the order of the spiritual master. But, you know, there are some exceptions, you know, that we find in the Vedic literature. If the guru becomes fallen, then there is no longer any, you know, obligation for the disciple to follow the spiritual master. And so, and for example, we're getting an example here. Maharaj Nimi had wanted his guru to perform a sacrifice for him, be the head priest of a sacrifice. But Vasishtha told him, my dear disciple, I've already previously accepted an invitation to be the head priest at a sacrifice that Lord Indra wants performed on Indra Loka. So, I will go there, I will perform the sacrifice, and then when I come back, then I'll perform the sacrifice for you. So then he left. And meanwhile, Maharaj Nimi was considering, this human life is so short. I don't think, you know, he considered the sacrifice he wanted to perform so important that it had to be done immediately. So he performed the sacrifice with other priests. Then when Vasishtha returned and saw that his disciple had disobeyed his order, he was upset. Now, these things are very difficult to understand on our own. You know, my first inclination when I was hearing this story is that, well, Nimi should have waited for his guru. But this is why we need to hear these stories from proper authority. Evam parampara praptam. You know, we have to hear this knowledge as it comes to us from disciplic succession. You know, that's why there's commentary in the Srimad Bhagavatam, because we might not understand the verses just with our own intelligence. Therefore, there's commentary by the Acharyas, by our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada, who in many cases relies on the commentaries of previous Vaishnava Acharyas. So, although my first thought was, well, maybe Maharaj Nimi should have waited, you know, for his guru. That's not, you know, the opinion of the Acharyas. So I found, well, I have to change my opinion so that it's in line with the opinion of the Acharyas. And what Srila Prabhupada explains in his purport is actually, you know, Maharaj Nimi was right to perform his sacrifice, and Vasishtha was wrong to not to have performed the sacrifice for him. There's some explanation here that really the reason why he didn't, the reason why he accepted, you know, the invitation to perform a sacrifice on Indraloka was greed, material greed, because he could get more remuneration. When, you know, Brahmins, you know, perform some sacrifice for a demigod or king, they're generally given some charity, some, you know, guru dakshin, some dakshin. And what the acharyas are saying, what Srila Prabhupada is saying, in agreement with Maharaj Nimi, was that he was motivated by the idea that he would get more dakshin from Indra than from his disciple, Maharaj Nimi. And therefore, it was wrong for Vasishtha to curse him, but since he did, Vasishtha did curse Maharaj Nimi, then Nimi was correct in counter-cursing. I mean, there are other examples where the disciple contradicts or disobeys the spiritual master correctly. For example, Bali Maharaj was approached by Vamandev asking for 3 steps of land. And Shukracharya, the guru of Bali Maharaj, saw that actually this was Vishnu and that he was going to take all Bali Maharaj's kingdom. And since he was, and it was the same motive, greed, the acharyas explained that Shukracharya was thinking, okay, I'm, you know, the guru, the priest of Bali, you know, he's giving me dakshin, but if he gives everything away to Krishna, then what's going to be left for me? So he tried to forbid him to give this charity, advise him not to give this charity to Vamandev. Vamandev wanted 3 steps of land, but Shukracharya could sense there was some trick involved. So Vamana, he's also known as Trivikram, you know, the one who takes 3 great steps. And in his 3 steps, he did. He took Bali Maharaj's whole kingdom, actually the whole universe, and with his 3rd step, he put his foot on Bali Maharaj's head and took him too. So in this instance, again, it was right for the disciple to disobey the order of spiritual master according to the acharyas, the bona fide acharyas. So this can happen. It says, Prabhupada says here, because of his greed, he, you know, Vasishtha, became fallen. But that's exceptional. But sometimes these exceptional things are there in the Bhagavatam just to give us some information that these things are possible. Now, it's interesting, they both cursed each other to drop their bodies, and that means they were dead. They killed each other with these curses. And it's interesting what happens. Said that Maharaj Nimi's body was preserved in oil. And this, there are other examples of bodies being preserved in oil. When Maharaj Dasarath, the father of Lord Ram, died, his body was preserved in oil for some time. That's there in the Ramayana. Then there's the story of the Shamantaka jewel, where King Satrajit, the father of Satyabhama, was keeping the Shamantaka jewel, which could produce great amounts of gold. And there was a conspiracy to take it from him. So the conspirators, principally Shatadanya, killed Satrajit. And Satyabhama preserved the body of her father in oil because she wanted Krishna to see it, see what happened. So this is something that apparently they were able to do, and they could, and sometimes they could bring the body back to life, after preserving it in oil. Some of the Vedic sages, they had a power called mritya sanjivani, means the ability to bring a dead body back to life. So the sages, in this case, did this. They preserved, the body of Maharaj Nimi, and they wanted to bring him back to life. They asked the demigods to bring Maharaj Nimi back to life, give him his body again. But, he said, Maharaj Nimi, I guess, whose soul was present. Sometimes we see this. When the son of King Chitraketu died, his soul was present and he could speak, to the people. Why are you lamenting? So apparently this can happen. So Maharaj Nimi said, I don't want another material body. I don't want to get entangled in material existence, even as a great king or anything like that. So they arranged for him to have a spiritual body. And they said, in this spiritual body, you can be either visible or not visible to ordinary people as you like. So Krishna is also like that. Krishna has his eternal spiritual form, but he can make it visible or invisible to ordinary vision as he likes. But then the sages had motive for wanting to bring him back, because there had to be a king to control the rogue elements in society. So they gave, the demigods, by the mercy of the Lord, gave Nimi his spiritual body, but they still had his material body there, so they churned it, to produce a king who could rule the world. And we also see this in the story of Maharaj Venu, who was a very violent, bad king, But at least he was a king. He was controlling, you know, the criminal elements very harshly. So when he died, you know, the Brahmins, they churned his body, and, you know, to get, you know, a good king, an incarnation of, you know, the Supreme Lord. And also they took out the bad elements, became a personality named Bahuka. So this idea of churning the body is there. So in this case, you know, they also, you know, did the same thing. So Maharaj Nimi got a new body, a spiritual body, and it's also explained that Vasishtha got a new body when there were some sages with Urvashi. They couldn't control themselves, and their semen came out, and, you know, Vasishtha took his, you know, was kept in a jar, and Vasishtha took his birth again. This is explained later in this chapter. So, those are some very interesting aspects of, you know, the Vedic philosophy. Some sages had this mrita sanjivana power. Shukracharya had this power. There was a fight between Bali Maharaj and the demons and the demigods. And it was a long battle, but at the end, the demigods were victorious, and they killed Bali Maharaj and most of his associates. But Shukracharya had this Mrita Sanjivana power, and he brought them back to life. So that was, you know, a power that, you know, some of these sages and demigods actually had. And Bhrigu Muni, you know, the priest of the demigods, he had a son named Kacha who learned this art from Shukracharya. So he also had, you know, this power. And of course, Krishna has it as well. Krishna can do that. Of course, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But, you know, some demigods and sages also had this ability. There's also an Ayurvedic medicine called Mrita Sanjivani. Srila Prabhupada describes it. It's very bitter. Has anybody ever taken it? No? Mrita Sanjivani? You know it? Okay. So, yeah, the demigods, you know, some of them understood this art. The modern materialistic scientists, they're trying to extend life, preserve life, or even create life. But they can't do it because they don't understand what real life is. You know, they think life is just a combination of chemicals. But actually, the actual living entity is the soul. The soul is the actual living entity. And it can be placed, you know, into a material body. But the material body exists in two forms. There's the subtle material body, and then there's the gross material body. And the subtle material body consists of ahankara, false ego, intelligence, mind, and the subtle senses. There's the subtle knowledge acquiring senses and the subtle working senses. And they're all grouped around the mind. So that's what the subtle body is. Not just mind, intelligence, and ego, but mind, intelligence, false ego, and the subtle senses. And according to the condition of the subtle body, one gets a gross physical body. So there's a whole science of understanding how to connect, you know, the subtle material body to the gross physical body, to the soul. You know, how to make it all fit together. So some of the sages and demigods, they understood how to do that. But, you know, the modern doctors, scientists, they don't understand these things. So whenever they try to do something, they don't get, the result, they intended. You know, they've been trying to create life for so long now, for many years, they've never been able to do it. They'll never be able to do it. Because they don't understand what the real living thing is. The living thing is the soul. So does anybody have any questions or comments about this or anything else?
Life. So, could they change their karmas also? Because karma, by the karmic reactions, they are destined to die. But
wait, would they change their
karma?
Their karma. In the descriptions I've read, it doesn't discuss that. Mostly, it says the body has to be in pretty good condition for this. Mritya Sanjeevani, if somebody's killed and their body is still in good condition, somehow they could bring, the soul and the subtle body back into it and make it function. I can only speculate. Normally I don't like to speculate. I like to have some statement of guru, shastra, or sadhu, that I could quote to you, that in one of these cases where they brought someone back to life, they changed their karma. But in a related way, you could say, this is not exactly the same thing, but when we get, before we're initiated by a bona fide spiritual master, in one sense, we're like walking dead people, and we get our second birth, our spiritual birth from the spiritual master, and it does change the karma, does remove, the karma. The spiritual master at the time of initiation, with the help of Krishna, removes the karma of the disciple. So that can happen. There are many statements, you know, by Srila Prabhupada, other acharyas, that happens. So in that sense, it can happen. But in terms of in this case, if they're giving Maharaj Nimi a spiritual body, that means it's completely free of karma. So if he had some residual karma, if he had any, then if he got a spiritual body, then that karma had to have been, whatever was there, if there was any, had to be taken away. Anything else? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.